Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. I surprise myself every single time I do this podcast because I am always ridiculously excited to do it and to bring you these concepts and to talk about these topics. And today is no exception. And right when I think like, oh, I couldn't possibly be as or more excited than the prior recording, I am. And that goes to today's show. And what I love about what I do is that I can be so fluid with it, that I can wait to do topics until I'm super passionate about them in a specific way. And today's subject matter arose out of a former client sending me an article. Now, this client is one of the people I profile in my book, The Micro Workout Plan. He's the final gentleman at the end of the book. Success story, one of the most incredible success stories. And the article he sent me was titled, "You Can't Simply Decide to Become a Different Person." So much there. And that's what we're going to talk about. And he sent me the article and he didn't say anything. He just sent it. And I haven't spoken with him in a while. We go back and forth, text, emails. I know what he's up to, but I know what he's saying. And that's how I will end this show, is as we call it in comedy, the callback. Start with a concept, a thought, and you bring it back. So we're going to talk about him at the end. But I love that he sent this to me. Such a perfect article to talk about. And I am in no means maligning the author. There's so much to learn here. The author is saying what so many people are saying, feeling what so many people are feeling, and struggling in the way that so many of you are struggling, and you don't have to. Could not be more excited to talk about this and to break it down. And I pulled out a handful of lines, and there's so much good stuff here. So much good stuff here. Again, the title, "You Can't Simply Decide to Become a Different Person," I would argue is flawed from the get-go. It just is. Because that's not what the journey's about. You're not trying to become a different person in the way that this author is talking about and trying to do themselves. And that is the overarching flaw. And it's what is sold to you in the industry. It is what's sold to you by so many quote-unquote experts and celebrities that there's this one way. What's best? And it's so flawed. All right, quick break. When we come back, could not be more excited to jump right into this. Can people change? That's what I'm calling this show. And we're going to talk about it. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. So I'm calling this, "Can People Change?" Simple, to the point, based on an article I just read, "You Can't Simply Decide to Become a Different Person." And it got me thinking, as all of these do, and as I was writing my notes and outline for the show, what immediately jumped to mind, because I've thought of this for decades, is how many people do you actually see, if you're someone who goes to the gym, how many people do you actually see over the course of time make major change? Like, you've seen this person and over the course of months, maybe years, generally years, you see that, oh my gosh, this person made dramatic change, whether that's weight loss, building muscle, you know, all of the above, change. truly changed and maintained it. As someone who has spent thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of hours in gyms, owned a gym, spent the better part of my life working in and spending time in gyms, I can count on one hand. Why is that? Why is that? And as I say that out loud, it makes me sad and it doesn't sound right. Like true, meaningful, lasting change. Healthy. And of course, when we're talking about the gym and things like that, it's weight loss for so many people. That's why they go. One of the primary reasons. Not everyone. We're getting away from that. It's what this show is about, is giving you all of the myriad benefits of exercise on top of that. But we need to be a healthy weight, and a lot of people are struggling with that. And the show is going to clarify one of the major reasons why. And back when I had my first radio show, so I had two radio shows and then this podcast, there was one guy at the gym many years ago I watched make incredible. Didn't recognize this person after a certain amount of time. And I had him on the show. And everything he talked about is what I bring to you. And this is why I constantly say, yes, we look at the science. Yes, we look at all of the research and things like that that is out there. But we also have to couple that with what? Success stories, because it's that... what am I trying to say? Venn diagram, is that right? It's the overlap. Where are those constants that these people are doing? And I'm going to give you a handful of those that's right here in this article. But it's not a specific thing. It's buckets, if you will. Okay, so what is this article about? You can't simply decide to become a different person. The author was writing about their father. Okay. And their father, let me find the line, has been running every day since the author was a child. Okay. And basically, the overarching theme of this article was that the author couldn't get themselves to become a runner. And I'm going to get to the specific line in a second. Let's go right to the article title again. You can't simply decide to become a different person. No one is asking you to do that. And what this article is doing, and it drives me crazy, is two things. It's yet another article that, at its heart, and I will give you the specific lines, is saying it's not your fault and it's outside of your control. Okay? Outside of your control. Now, of course, we are trying to be different in that we're trying to be better and we're trying to be healthier. Therein lies the rub, right? But in doing that, you don't have to do things you dislike. You don't have to do things you abhor, okay? Here is the author's line that gets right to that. You get past the initial phase of this new activity being hard and bad and a huge bummer, and then you do that for 40 years. So the author is describing their father, or what they believe their father experienced. And I will actually prove the author to be wrong with their own words in a second as well. I know I keep getting ahead of myself. But let's go through that one more time. Those three things. You get past the initial phase of this new activity being hard and bad and a huge bummer. Just got worse and worse, right? It was hard. Okay, challenging. Most people are up for that if you have something that you enjoy, but bad and a huge bummer. No, no, no. No, no, no. That's not how it works. That's what you've been told with your fad diets or with a certain type of exercise modality that works for your friend or you see in the media, but that you don't like. You need to find something that raises your heart rate. That's cardio. There are an infinite number of ways to do that. You need to lift challenging things to challenge your muscles. And there are an infinite number of ways to do that. But that's not what you're told. But it doesn't have to be, again, hard is challenging, sure. But not in the way the author is describing it, I would argue. Doesn't have to be bad, certainly doesn't have to be bad, and does not have to be a huge bummer. The author continues, it's a deceptively simple fantasy, and so often an impossible one. No. It's not a fantasy. It is deceptively simple if you approach it in the right way. And it is not impossible. It's the flawed approach, methodology that, again, you are sold over and over again to make people money that couldn't care less about you actually achieving your goals. This is what we see on social media. Didn't think I'd go here. This isn't in my notes. But this is, everyone is an experiment of one. Here's exactly how you do it because I did it this way. That's the new world that is, it's always been out there, but it's never been out there like it is now. So you see your friend or you see people from college, whatever, you're seeing people on social media and they're all telling you that this is the way. And so you say, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. You go, oh no, maybe that is hard and bad and a huge bummer for you. But that is not the only way. That's their way. That's their way. And the author talks about that they bought the equipment. They're talking about how their exercise plan didn't work for them and that they have equipment in their apartment and that they bought the equipment, made a plan, and got out there and did it. And it didn't work. And here's what I know. It's the wrong equipment. And it was a flawed plan. And my guess is, like 99% of people who make plans, it's too much. It's too much, too soon. And then got out there and did it. Well, you did something you thought was probably hard and bad and a huge bummer. Why do you possibly think you're going to stick with that? And the author continues, and I quote, stories like my dad's, and again, her dad's someone who started running, I don't give the specifics, when the author was a child and has been running, I think every day, 5 miles a day for like 40 years. Now, as an exercise physiologist and someone who knows rest is important, what I know about this, and getting a little outside, but it's important to qualify this, that's psychological for so many people. Like, I have friends who run too much, too frequently, but again, didn't intend on going here, but that's their Prozac. The alternative is worse, is my point for so many people. Generalizing, but trust me, for certain people, they need it psychologically. And as long as their bodies, you know, hold up for the most part, again, it's better than the alternative. I'm going to leave it at that. But I just want you to know that I don't necessarily believe running every day is good for you. Doing anything, as I've said so many times, the same thing over and over every day. But this author's father also cross trains and does stuff. So that's really important because at 75, as the age of the author's father in the article, they wouldn't be able to do this if they weren't doing that kind of stuff. So just wanted out there that I don't think you should do the same thing every day, but certain people do it for more psychological than physiological reasons. Okay, said it. All right, but stories like my dad's often serve as pop psychological proof that you, too, could become a runner if you really wanted to. That is, along with the title, one of the majorly flawed concepts. No, absolutely not. That's not the lesson you learn from this author's father. Not that you could become a runner. It's that you could find that thing that makes you really happy and you want to do it frequently. And if someone told you you couldn't do it like me, like with what I enjoy doing, if you told me I had to sit still and not engage in the activity, the movement, the exercise that I want to do, that's worse. You can get to that point because you have found what you like, what makes you feel good. So it's not that you too could become a runner. It's that you too can find something that makes you feel good. Because exercise and movement feels good. Unfortunately, our new world of technology and everything else and the human condition is such that we and most people sit around, move less and less and less, and they don't know how good they can feel. And it's that slippery slope. You don't force it. You find what you like. Oh my gosh, I love this. And again, this is by no means a criticism of the author. This is such a great, great article to break down in this very way. Because so many people, the vast majority of people, have this same problem. The comparison to others. They're trying to do what other people have done because it worked for them. Now, as I said that, you're going, Tom, you're contradicting yourself. You're saying we should do what others who have been successful do. Yes, but no. You don't do it exactly. And I'm going to get to that. Quick break. We'll be right back. Talking about an article, you can't simply decide to become a different person. I'm going to clarify that even more shortly. And I'm calling this, can people change? Can you change? And that term change is nuanced and complicated. So the author goes on and says, if some people can just get up one day and decide to behave differently for the rest of their life, why do most people fail at it again and again? It's not that the people or the person has failed. It's that they're finding out what they enjoy. I would argue that this author's father tried many things before he was that. He wasn't 18 when he started running. He was older. My guess is he tried other things. And that's the word, try. Experiment. It's not failure. You don't fail because you didn't enjoy indoor cycling like so many people. You learned you don't like indoor cycling. And guess what? You may like it down the road. There's no failure. That's the journey. And here's a really important part of all this. The author talks about self-control. Here's a paragraph. People who have high trait self-control, you can take the term trait out. I don't need to get into that now. There's trait and state self-control. People who have high trait self-control, they don't actually engage in more restraint of their behavior. By the way, this is from the article, but this is from one of the researchers. Okay, so the researcher is saying people who have high trait self-control, they don't actually engage in more restraint of their behavior and thoughts and emotions in the moment. Instead, they just aren't tempted or distracted or diverted from their purpose. Remember that, their purpose, as often or as effectively as the rest of us, for the small number of people at the far end of the trait spectrum. The things that others have to exercise self-control, to resist every single time, and the researcher lists, sleeping in, skipping the gym, just don't recognize the options the same way that the rest of us do. Okay? All right. What's the takeaway there? What is the researcher trying to say? And this is the first I've heard of it put this way. And my studies now are continuing in human behavior. It's that it's easier. It's yet again saying it's easier. It's easier for people who are doing it. Well, yes and no. It depends. And I love, by the way, how many of you reach out to me now, social media and things like that, emails, and you use that term, it depends. We're learning people together, right? Helping you figure that out. And that's what this is about. But this is, again, trying to make an excuse that it's nature, not nurture, that it's genetic. Well, let me go back. When the researcher said diverted from their purpose, let's say or call specifically the dad's purpose is running. Yeah. They aren't tempted or distracted or diverted from, he's not, from running because he enjoys it. Psychologically, physiologically, he really enjoys it. He's not being forced to do it. He chose to do it. Okay? So this is a BS takeaway, as I have here in my notes. It's easier because the person chooses and wants to do it. They enjoy it. And what was the list? Sleeping in. You don't have to. You don't have to. There's reasons to exercise in the morning. I've done those shows. We'll continue to do them. Many reasons, myriad. But you don't have to. When I was a teenager, I worked out at 11 o'clock at night, high school. There are people that go to the gym right after work. So you don't force it. What's the best time to work out? Whenever you want to. Micro workouts too, by the way, people. We're talking movement throughout the day. And what was the other thing in the list? Exercise self-control to resist sleeping in, skipping the gym. How often do I have to talk about that you don't have to go to the gym? Like, enough. Yes, there's value to the gym. Yes, they will be around. What I'm seeing now more and more, and it makes sense and I'm happy, is that thanks to COVID, people learned that they were forced to exercise, work out, figure out routine at home. And many in my research are not going to totally give up the gym. Some are. Some are like, I don't want to ever go back. But many are saying, I'm going to do both. Great idea. Sometimes they want to get away. Sometimes they want to use different equipment. Oftentimes they want to do both. But you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to exercise first thing in the morning. But that's those things you're told you have to do. And if you don't do them, you're failing. You're a failure. No. That's the flawed plan. Those are the flawed goals. Stop believing that that's the way and the only way. That is why I constantly hammer home the theme of variation. I said at the beginning that the author, within their own article here, contradicted themselves and answered the question. And it's a great article. It's really well written. And the author put themselves out there, and that is laudable and it's helpful. But the author wrote after he decided he liked running every morning. After he decided he liked running every morning, he liked it. I would argue it wasn't that it was bad, that it was hard. What was the other? A huge bummer. No. Guess what? My dad, I joke, but I wrote in my book, The Marathon Method, started running more and more the more kids he had. He ended up having six boys. He ended up running really frequently, and he's still running to this day in his 70s. It works for him. If you told my dad he had to go swim, there's not a chance he would do it. And there's not a chance he would keep doing it until he liked it. I'm not sure my dad could swim across a pool if he had to. So the author answered their question. Now, you could make the argument, okay, he learned to like it. I would argue he learned to like it more and more and more. Okay? And I'm going to throw this in here too, because this is important. And we've talked about this and we'll continue to as well. The author also includes that he always eats breakfast and his meal goes unchanged for years at a time. How many times have I said this? And this contradicts my variation thing. But this is one area where that's third level stuff. What am I talking about here? If you haven't heard me talk about this, yes. The more variation we have in our diets, the more healthy and varied foods, the better. But most people don't do that, that maintain their weight. The vast majority of people, in my experience and the research shows, they eat the same thing. even the obesity, the great study where they follow people who have lost, I think it's over, is it over 100 pounds, 50 pounds and maintained it for 10 years or more? They eat the same thing. Not all of the people eat the same foods, but they eat individually the same meals generally over and over. Why is that? Because they enjoy it, because it satiates them, and because they find that it works for them. They know how many calories are in it. The more variation we have, the less control over it we have. We don't know how many calories are in it. We don't know how it's going to affect us. Is it going to fill us up, or are we going to want 10 more servings with the sugars and things that are in there? So yes, in a perfect world, and if we're really evolving to become super healthy, then we want variation in those foods as well. But it does not surprise me in the least that this person's father eats the same breakfast for months and months at a time. And by the way, they describe the breakfast that it is. Is it super healthy? Absolutely not. But I would argue it's low enough calorie and it satiates them. And her father is not grabbing for something within an hour or two. It works for them throughout the day. Okay. Oh, God, getting worked up. All right. So we talk about doing what successful people do, finding what works for you, and doing that thing over and over, including this breakfast theory, philosophy, example. But let's go and finish with this. The primary, I would argue, excuse that the researcher gives, they describe the evidence that any given person can increase the level of trait self-control to be more like my dad as, quote, extremely weak. Final nail in the coffin. Again, the evidence that any given person can increase your self-control, extremely weak. Now, I'm contradicting myself in that I started this whole podcast by saying in all my years being in the gym that I haven't seen but a handful of major changes. But I would argue it's not because of the lack of ability. It's because of the horrible information that has been out there for so long that you have to go to the gym, that you have to do an hour, that you have to do things that are hard and bad and that you don't enjoy. And that are huge bummers. Absolutely not. And I would argue if you interviewed this author's father, they would not say at all that running was hard and bad and a huge bummer for them. Nor would my father. Okay? So, what is self-control? In this quote from the researcher, he says, any given person can increase their level of trait self-control. Well, self-control is restraint. Here's a definition, one of them. Self-control is restraint exercised over one's impulses, emotions, or desires. So you're trying to stop something, essentially. You're trying to stop an impulse, an emotion, or desire. How about let's not focus on that anymore with exercise or nutrition? I say this about eating. I don't care what you're not eating. Don't tell me what foods you're avoiding. Tell me what you're eating. Why don't you approach exercise the same way? Don't tell me what you're avoiding. It doesn't even make sense. Find what you enjoy. What raises your heart rate? Is that swimming? Is that rowing? Is that jumping rope? Is that the elliptical? Is that walking? We all have likes and dislikes. One of my first podcasts was about that, five components of fitness. And we generally do what we're good at. Some people are more strength oriented. Some people are more cardio oriented. If we want to be really healthy, we need to do all five, and I threw in the sixth balance. But we don't do those things that we dislike. We figure out within those buckets of cardio, of strength, of flexibility, of body composition, what works for us. Do we enjoy all of them equally? No, but there's so many different ways to do that. So many different ways to improve your flexibility. Yoga, Pilates, different instructors. And you don't have to, nor should you do any one of those five components too much. But that's what you've been told. It's strength training. That's the best way to lose weight. It's cardio. Cardio is a waste of time. Strength training is going to make all of that garbage is what's keeping people from being that person in the gym that I see make major change. And guess what? The major change too, it's not just physical. It's psychological. When I meet someone and they start to tell me their exercise and nutrition routine, especially, you know, people around my age in their 50s and older, I can tell right away what they're doing to some degree with just energy they give off and how they look as far as happiness. When you're doing something frequently that you enjoy and it's movement and you're eating foods that are healthy and you enjoy them and you're nourishing your body, that feels good. And every single one of you can achieve that. That is my takeaway. That is why these articles and philosophies I find problematic, to put it lightly. Now I'm being nice. Everyone has the capacity to change. Everyone has the capacity to make major change. Let me read you one final quote from the article. Before you do any of this, though, before you've decided you've failed, it's probably worth making peace with who you are as a person. Now, the author is talking about themselves. My irregular exercise habits don't really bother me anymore, mostly because I don't take myself as seriously as I used to. I have exercise equipment in my apartment that I could use more often, but I simply do not feel like it. I have never once felt like it, even if I have often wanted to be a person who does. I feel for this author. They purchased exercise equipment that they don't like. Get rid of it. Keep trying. There is no failure. And you know what? There's so much going on here. I want to do a session with this person. I want to do several consultations. Maybe they want to get out of their apartment. Maybe going for a walk or a bike ride or swimming or going to the gym or joining a master swim group or, you know, doing a cycling class. The equipment that they have, they don't feel like using and have never once felt like it. I really doubt that this author's father never felt like running. I think he found what he loved on many levels. And do not do what this author does. Beat themselves up because they have wanted to be a person who does something that they don't want to do. You don't dislike exercise. You haven't found what you enjoy. It feels really good when you do. It's not that you don't like eating healthy. It's you have so much ridiculously bad information about it, and you keep trying the wrong approach. It is about excessive moderation. It is about, one final thing I'll pull out, the irregular exercise habits. That's fine. Micro workouts, excessive moderation. Do shorter workouts throughout the day rather than beating yourself up to get on your piece of exercise equipment at home for an hour or go to the gym for an hour, which usually takes 2 hours. Stop forcing it. All right. Here's where get the call back. That client who sent me this article was someone who at 50, and again, this whole story is in my book, The Micro Workout Plan, started with me, had been a super successful entrepreneur, worked his butt off, but couldn't run a minute and needed to get in shape. And we started small and we tried many different things. And we did strength training. And we started walking and running because they said they wanted to try that. And long story short, not only did this client in his 50s, and now he's in his 60s, start running without stopping, he became a Boston Marathon qualifier. He was running a 3:42, I think was his PR. Was that late 50s? He found what he was good at. He found what he enjoyed. He gave it time. We worked through every issue that they come up. We had to strengthen certain things and fix imbalances. And, you know, you get the plantar fasciitis and you fix that. And the IT band and piriformis syndrome and things like that. You deal with it right away. You figure out the etiology. It's not easy, but it's giving it time. And this person not only became a ridiculously successful runner, then they started biking. I mean, it gets so much better. And now this former client and his wife bike hundreds and hundreds of miles They go on trips around the world together. And so not only did he become healthier and find something he was good at, he changed it. He wasn't going to just run, because you're going to find something you really enjoy and you're going to get bored with it. You're going to eat the same breakfast for a certain amount of time. You're going to go, oh, time to change. And so this guy ran for a while, pretty long time, got confidence, got healthier, got happier. And now he and his wife, who was looking for her thing, exercise-wise, she struggled. I worked with her for a while too. And now they're doing it together. And they're making it vacations. And they're seeing the world. And they are biking hundreds and hundreds of miles and going on week-long, several week-long trips. And so the point is, yes, people can change. But don't think of it as change, because the way this is all framed is that you are exerting self-control. You are not exerting self-control. You are not doing things you don't want to do. You are trying numerous things until you find those that you enjoy. And then there will come a time when you'll switch or not, but you're open to that. Okay? I loved this article. It's so good to break down why people feel guilty, why you beat yourself up, why you think you failed. You're not becoming a different person. You're finding out who you are. Thank you for listening. If you want to reach out, Tom H. Fit is Instagram and Twitter. You can direct message me, Tom H. Fit. I apologize, it may take me a little while to get back to you, but I will always answer those questions in a podcast as well. And I just have the best listeners. So thank you for reaching out. Love to hear from you. You can go to fitnessdisrupted.com as well. Email me through the site, fitnessdisrupted.com. I've mentioned the book a bunch of times, The Micro Workout Plan, everything I'm talking about. That's the most recent book. Stop beating yourself up. You can flip the switch. Every single person has the capacity. These are the articles that I have the most problem with, because it tells you you can't, that you don't, and those are both wrong, that you can't do it and that you don't have control. We all control three things: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our state of mind. They're all connected, and that's awesome. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.